Greetings, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us today. We love hearing directly from you, our listeners, so if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and this is your best opportunity to call and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, again, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the basic gospel this month and really that solid foundation that this gospel message builds into each and every one of us. And that is so vitally important, especially in the world today. I mean, everything that we stand for as believers in Christ is being questioned.
Yes, it is.
And it starts with Jesus Christ himself. People are wondering, who in the world is he? Almost every single year, one of the major magazines, whether it's Time or Newsweek or something like that, always has an issue about Jesus. And usually the cover has the question, who is Jesus Christ? So skeptics are raising all kinds of questions about who he is. Did he even exist? Was he a real historical figure? And if they can't get you on that, then they're trying to raise doubts and skepticism about the resurrection. Did he really rise from the dead? How could that be? So the two foundational things, the two foundational truths of Christianity, Jesus Christ, who he is, and the fact that he was raised from the dead physically, are being questioned every single day. So we better be sure, as far as our beliefs are concerned, we better know what the Word of God has to say about Jesus Christ. We better know the facts about the resurrection and really be able to argue those and to give winsome answers when asked about these two important issues. Now, concerning Jesus Christ, Paul wrote this in Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. So we see that Jesus Christ is the creator. And if we compare this verse to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created, then we have to say, well, is Paul saying that Jesus is God? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Says that he created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. So he was before everything was created. As John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ has always been. He's outside of time and space. He existed before all of this came into existence. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell.
Yeah.
That's who this Jesus Christ is. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a moral expert or anything like that. He is God incarnate. He became flesh and dwelt among us. That's who Jesus is. And he accomplished something for us. He became our Savior. And that's why Paul calls him in Titus 2, our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what he says about Jesus Christ. So who is Jesus? He's God in the flesh, fully God, fully man. And he accomplished something for us to save us so that we could be with him forever. So it's important for us to know that, to be well-versed in what the Bible has to say about Jesus, so that we will have a framework to be able to think through all of the issues that bombard us every single day, and to recognize that in all of those things, we need to turn to Jesus for truth.
Yes, indeed.
Because we're going to find it in him. And in him alone.
In him alone. Thank you, Bob. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Let's jump right into a question right off the bat, Bob. This is from Morgan, who wrote to us a few days ago. She said, have a question for you guys. I've been spiritually attacked by two churches that claim to be loving churches. Should I go back?
Well, Morgan, if I'm in your shoes, I probably don't go back to those places. I'm not sure the detail of what happened there. That's something that you know, and if you feel comfortable, you may want to go to the pastor or one of the leaders of the church and say, this is what happened to me, and can we talk through this, and I want to know your perspective, and I want you to know how that made me feel and what that did to me on the inside. And I think that might be an important conversation. If you don't feel like you can have that conversation, then I think I would shake the dust off my feet and move on to a church that will really embrace you and encourage you and love you and provide opportunities for you to serve that body. Mm-hmm. You want to be in a position of receiving from the body of Christ at any given church that you attend, and you want to also be in a position of giving back, of serving and helping to build up that body. So if you don't feel comfortable having a conversation with somebody in leadership or the pastor, then shake the dust off, find another church, but find one that you can receive and give.
Yes, indeed. Morgan, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out to us. We have an open line for you, friends. If it's 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and the number 1-844-322-2742 is open right now, and we want to hear from you. Pose your question on today's broadcast. Speak directly with us right now, 844-322-2742. And friends, as we've said, we're greatly encouraged by your support. This Basic Gospel message needs to keep going, reaching out as far as possible, telling the story of the good news of God's love, grace, and life, and our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I like that Titus 2 passage as well.
Yes, indeed.
That's why we do what we do every day on this program, Bob. And we can only keep doing it when our listeners, our faithful supporters, step up. And by your prayers and by your financial support, friends, we can keep doing it. And when you give to support this message, well, you have a part in every life that is touched. So help us keep it going by making your October gift today at basicgospel.net. And when you make your gift, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel. So again, donate at basicgospel.net. Once again, the phone number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this question from Carl, who listens on WMUZ in Atlanta. WMUZ in Detroit.
It says Atlanta there, but that's not right.
Anyway, he says, I've heard it said that the book of Acts is a historical book. Please help me understand so I can explain to others. And Carl says, I get great joy out of just knowing.
Well, Carl, thanks for that question. That's a really good question. And there's been lots of discussion through the years about the nature of the book of Acts. And I think, first and foremost, it is historical in nature, that it just gives the history of the beginning of the church and what happened through the apostles. So it's a story of the work of God in those apostles to carry forth the word of God out to the world. So we see Peter taking the lead at the beginning of Acts. He was the one that was given the keys to the kingdom, and he unlocked the door for the Jews to enter first, and then the Samaritans, and then the Gentiles. And then after chapter 11, we see Paul taking the lead. He becomes front and center, and it's all about how God's Spirit is working through him to take this message beyond the people of Israel, but out there into the Gentile world. So we see a historical account, and Luke does a fantastic job. But that's not to say that there can't be doctrine derived from that. And why you need to be careful in trying to do that in the book of Acts is because we see various things. You know, we see in Jerusalem there on the day of Pentecost, Peter saying, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we have some building a doctrine on that, that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And then you have others saying, hey, you have to speak in tongues as a sign that you are saved. And why both of those are kind of at the far ends of the spectrum is because there's no consistency with that throughout the remainder of the book. So we see different things happening. So, you know, Paul laid hands and Peter laid hands on people and the gift of the Spirit was given in Samaria. In Caesarea, when he was speaking to Cornelius and his family, the Holy Spirit just came upon Cornelius and his family before Peter even, you know, had an altar call or anything. So we don't see a lot of consistency. So we don't want to form doctrines based on a single verse. Mm-hmm. So what we can know, there are some statements. So Peter said to the Gentiles that everyone who receives him receives the forgiveness of sins. Well, that's a truth. That's a consistent truth. It's consistent with the rest of the Word of God. So anything that you find there that is really explained further in the epistles, you can say, hey, that's part of doctrine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Carl, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out to us. Again, if it's about 10 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it's the live broadcast, and you can speak directly with Bob Christopher and me if you call right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this question from a YouTube viewer, Jane. Pastors often quote the Old Testament without clarifying its old covenant stance and application to a born-again believer under the new covenant. Thus, the legalist law and grace sermon cause double-minded believers. How would you refute this with church leadership when they feel justified because they have a seminary degree?
Yeah, seminary degree certainly provides some credibility. They can open the door for opportunities in being pastors at churches and those sort of things. But as far as the way the Word of God is laid out, we have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, we have the Mosaic Covenant, and we have a New Covenant. Mm-hmm. And the cross is kind of the dividing line between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jesus fulfilled that Old Covenant in his death. He brought it to a conclusion. Yeah. So God had said this Old Covenant is temporary. Paul answered that question. It was until the Messiah would come. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus died on the cross, he brought to completion that Old Covenant. He also ushered in a new covenant. So the cross is the place of change. It's where we went from the old to the new. So that's the first thing that has to be established. So today we live in the new covenant. So what was the purpose of the old? Well, the purpose of the old was to show us our need for Christ. It doesn't make us righteous. It can impart life. Through that old covenant, we gain the knowledge of sin. We learned what sin was all about.
Right.
And when we looked at it and compared ourselves to that law, we found out we were sinners. And if we're sinners, we need a Savior.
Yes, indeed.
And if we need a Savior, we have to look to Jesus because he's the only Savior. Mm-hmm. So the law was there to point us to Christ. And so when we establish that, then we realize the Old Testament is there to point us to Christ as well, even all the way back to the book of Genesis. So that is God's testimony concerning his son. We see signposts about who he is and what he was going to accomplish when he comes on the scene. But they're signposts pointing forward to Jesus. So they were looking ahead toward his coming and what he was going to accomplish. We look back. And so we're on this side of the cross. We live in the new covenant. So those are two things that we need to establish, that the Old Testament was signposts pointing to Jesus. As the writer of Hebrews says, it's shadows.
Yes.
So the real thing is found in Christ. So I think if we can establish that, then folks would be more inclined to really make those distinctions in their teaching. And it's so vitally important that we do so, that we make that distinction to really ingrain into the hearts of those that you are teaching that they are new covenant believers. They're not old covenant believers. They're not a mixture of old covenant and new. They are new covenant believers. Jesus Christ set aside the old to establish the new. We see that in the book of Hebrews, that old is obsolete and aging and will soon disappear. Mm-hmm. Again, that's in Hebrews 8:13. So once we get this established, then the rest can kind of flow from there.
Yes,
but that's how I would talk to a pastor in that regard.
Jane, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. Again, 844-322-2742. And, you know, friends, beyond radio and Internet, Basic Gospel has a growing list of resources to help you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, including in those resources is Bob Christopher's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and many other items to help you grow in your understanding of this gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. You'll find it all under resources at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines and talk to Susanna, listening to us in Garland, Texas. Hi, Susanna.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you. My question is, I used to be into education, and now I went and studied alcohol and drug counseling. What do you need to be like a chaplain, like a prison chaplain or hospital chaplain after that?
Well, I'm not sure.
Question.
Yeah, that is a great question, Susanna. And I'm not exactly sure on what the qualifications for that would be. You might want to you want to do that at a prison, is that what you're saying? Or a hospital?
Well, I used to be a teacher in middle school and high school, and I really want to head towards the juvenile delinquency area.
Okay.
And I do have, like, a master's degree in education and a master's degree in sociology. So I want to use that as a way of, you know, gaining interest into, like, a prison chaplain, jail chaplain, whatever, speaking to, you know, minors or – and I was told I needed like a ministry certification or theology certification, and I've looked into a couple of schools, and they want like $3,000, $4,000, which is a ridiculous amount. You know,
yes,
it's like,
yes.
Before it used to be very affordable. Now it's gotten ridiculous. You know, it's just, I can see if I'm getting a bachelor's degree in theology or something like that, but just a certificate, you know, on the average runs like $3,000, $4,000.
Well, a couple of things that I would suggest to you, Susanna. One is maybe go to one of these places and see if there are volunteer opportunities as a way to get your foot in the door. And then there are certainly ministries, prison fellowship being one such ministry, and there's numerous others that have outlets into prisons, both adult prisons and adolescent prisons. So you might want to check with one of those and see if there are opportunities to either volunteer or if there's opportunities to work with them. So it's all, you know, as far as ministry and those sort of things, it's all about getting to know people and having people get to know you so that they can see your heart. They can see, you know, that your true desire is to genuinely help and to be a person that God can use in the lives of people. So you may want to connect with some of those and see if there's volunteer opportunities and let that be the foot in the door, and then trust the Lord to direct the path from there.
Right. I have a neighbor who she's got a bachelor's degree in law enforcement, and she's actually going to go and get her master's in social work, but I kind of warned her you have to do like over 2,700 hours of just, you know, social work hours out in the field, either, I don't know, before, during, or after before you get your licensing, which can lead to an LPC or social work license, which again, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
And the same goes for nursing. You know, you go into nursing, you have to do 1,000
right.
clinical hours throughout
right.
your nursing degree. And it just comes with the package. But thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, you are so welcome. And keep us posted on what doors open for you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Thank you
for your call.
Yes, indeed. You know, Bob, a lot of the questions that I read on the air here on Basic Gospel come from our YouTube and Facebook listeners, or viewers, I should say. And, friends, we invite you to join the live video stream of this program each day from either Facebook or YouTube. You'll find direct links at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines again and talk to Mary Jo in Louisville, Kentucky. Hey, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'll be brief. I never can word my question like I do with Michelle. But when we ask Christ into our hearts, is that a miracle or is it the greatest miracle?
Well, I think it's, you know, the greatest miracle is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that miracle, you know, is the groundwork for the miracle of us being made alive together with Christ. So just as he was raised from the dead physically, Mary Jo, we're raised spiritually. So we cross over from death to life. Now that's a miracle, isn't it? And we didn't have any part in that other than believing. So we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means simply this, that we were made alive together with Christ. So the greatest miracle, I think, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that set the groundwork for the greatest miracle that will happen in our life, and that is being made alive together with Jesus. So when you believe, Mary Jo, you crossed over from death to life. And Christ Jesus came to live inside of you. The resurrected Jesus, the spirit of the resurrected Jesus came to live inside of you. And that's the greatest miracle you're ever going to experience.
Yes, indeed.
I keep letting my feelings so get in the way. I keep thinking, no, it's fact. I asked Christ into my heart. He wants to complete the work. And that's all I need to do is rest in him.
That's exactly right. You've got it, Mary Jo, and that's called faith. Resting in Jesus is faith. That's what faith is all about. So you're not trying to...
Faith, trust.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary Jo.
Hey, great question, Mary Jo. Thanks for asking it today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And, Bob, we had this call from Carol in Marietta, Georgia, your old hometown there. She says, does Satan know how it all ends for him? Is he aware of what the Bible says about he being cast into the lake of fire and that Jesus will be totally victorious over him? I think Jesus already is victorious.
Yeah, Jesus is already victorious over the devil. He has done the work. And I think, you know, I'm not sure if Satan is clear on what his final destiny is going to be. I think he's probably so deceived that he thinks that at one point he's going to win.
Yeah, probably.
So that's why he keeps mounting attacks against God. Mm-hmm. That's why he keeps stirring rebellion in the human population. That's why he keeps all those things going, because I think he thinks... At a point in time, he can mount up enough forces to overcome, but he's not going to be very happy when the end comes and he's thrown in that lake of fire forever.
I don't think he's going to be very happy either, but we're going to be very happy.
Yes, indeed.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. If you have any question, anything you've heard or would like to hear answered on Basic Gospel, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. Or you can send an email to Bob. You can address him at bob@basicgospel.net, simply bob@basicgospel.net. Once again, our deepest thanks to everyone who helps keep this program on the air and online. You are the reason we're able to be here every day with this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. Again, the donate button you'll find there on our homepage at basicgospel.net. And when you make your October gift, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel. The name tells the story, and again, you can make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.